Clifford Brown Jr. here with you at FM 91 KCSM, the Bay Area's jazz station. Mentioned throughout the day, joining me in studio is bassist Michael Manring. Michael, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Clifford.
Yeah, it's truly a pleasure. It's good to finally get to meet you. I've been listening to you for a long, long time.
All right.
In a lot of different configurations and playing a lot of different kinds of music. So it's good to get to put the person together with the music that I've been listening to for so long.
Well, likewise.
I thought we'd start off by talking a little bit about your background. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Washington, D.C., around the suburbs of D.C., and then moved out here about 20 years ago after spending a little time in New York.
Mm-hmm. How did you first get introduced to music? Were your parents fans?
My grandparents, 3 out of 4 of my grandparents were professional musicians at some point, so I think it skipped a generation a little bit.
Yeah, that's what they say about me. They say that talent skips a generation.
Oh.
Your grandparents, what did they do?
My granddad on my father's side was a conductor and clarinetist around the Cleveland area. And his wife, my grandmother, was a cellist. And my grandmother on my mother's side was a singer in vaudeville.
Wow, now that's different.
So there's that's the background.
Yeah, that's pretty diverse, though. You have the European classical side, and then you have the popular vaudeville side. You initially started playing the bass. Was that your first instrument?
Bass was my first instrument. I just fell in love with the sound of the instrument when I was about 9 and just took to it and just kind of got more and more interested in it as time went on.
Now, initially, I'm going to imagine you started with the school system. Is that how you started playing?
I did, although at the time, you couldn't study electric bass in the school, so we had to take lessons outside of school. But by the time I got to high school, there were some bands to play in, and I played in every band I could in high school. I even learned how to play sousaphone so I could be in the marching band.
Wow, okay.
Believe me, that's dedicating yourself to art.
At that point in your life, did you have mostly the European classical background, or were you listening to a lot of radio and playing more of the pop stuff, or what?
I was kind of an odd kid because I was just into everything. Mm-hmm. I was just soaking it up like a sponge. At the time, the pop stuff was huge, and all my friends loved that. But I got into jazz pretty early on, actually, and just really fell in love with jazz and got interested in classical music and avant-garde music and just loved it all.
Now, think back a few years, if you can, back to that early high school thing. You see, you're playing a lot of with a lot of bands. Mm. Who were you listening to back then? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I mean, again, just listening to everything. Yeah. It was a time when there was a lot of the exciting fusion stuff that was coming out, and that was really neat. But I was also listening to a lot of Thelonious Monk and Thad Jones, Mel Lewis, and all the great bass players from that kind of music, all the way from Blanton through Scotty LaFaro, Mingus.
Wow.
These are all my heroes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also a lot of just, anything I could find, just would turn on the radio late at night and see what people were playing and try to find out about what that music was and where it came from.
Now, in listening to you through the years, there are times, and you definitely have your own style. I have to make that clear. You definitely have your own sound and your own voice.
Thanks.
But there's times when I feel like I'm hearing some Stanley Clarke influence and some other times when I feel like I'm hearing some Jaco Pastorius influence. Is that just my imagination, or were those cats that you listen to?
Absolutely. Those are two, really very important people in my life. And I hope to always, kind of in respect of them, to always carry some of that sound in within my sound, a little bit of what they do and hopefully a little bit of what I do, too. When I lived in New York, I was lucky enough to study a bit with Jaco.
I want to talk about that in a bit as well, because that's pretty heavy.
It was kind of heavy.
This is FM 91 KCSM, the Bay Area's jazz station, in conversation with Michael Manring this afternoon. Michael, did you know from the beginning that music was going to be this important to you, that it was going to be your life, or is that something that you kind of discovered along the journey?
I always knew that if I had my choice, that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I also knew that it was a pretty tenuous lifestyle, so I kind of tried to think about, well, maybe I could do this or maybe I could do that for a while. But by the time I was about 17, I just couldn't think of doing anything else.
Wow. Okay, so you knew early in life then.
It was pretty early on, and I've been pretty lucky so far. Mm-hmm. There's always been a gig of some kind that came up.
Yes. How did you end up coming to California?
I just fell in love with it out here. I was living in New York at the time I first started coming out here to work with a record company called Windham Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked New York. There's, you know, obviously there's an amazing amount of variety of music going on. But out here in the Bay Area, there just seemed to be this amazing acceptance of lots of different kinds of ideas, and it just felt like a place that was home sort of aesthetically.
Yeah.
And I've been here for almost 20 years now.
Okay. Well, it's obviously to our benefit, although you travel so Thanks. Much. You don't gig enough around the home front for us.
I do travel a lot, yeah.
Now, you had mentioned you had studied with Jaco Pastorius. In my mind, Jaco, one of the great innovators of this instrument, of the electric bass, and of music in general. Yeah. How did you first hook up with Jaco?
Well, when I was living in New York, he was my biggest hero. He was my idol. Mm-hmm. And so I would follow him around to gigs and catch up with him in between sets and just eventually talked him into giving me some lessons.
That's it? You just kept bugging him about
pretty
it?
Pretty much.
He finally said okay. Huh?
Pretty much just being a pest.
What was it like studying with Jaco? I had a chance to get to know him fairly well. Interesting cat. A lot of mood swings, at least with my experience, and although he's always very, very cool with me. Mm-hmm. Did some of that, the volatile side of his personality, come out in his teaching technique, or was it just all about music and pretty focused?
Well, just like you said, very complex person, a lot of mood swings, but he was always very cool with me, too.
Yeah.
I felt very lucky about that, and it's kind of the sad thing about him. He was, you know, deeply, deeply troubled, as you know, but, you know, as you also know, he was a really sweet guy, very intelligent guy, very sensitive guy. So I got to see all of that, and as a young man, you know, seeing all that in your biggest hero was pretty eye-opening and very, I guess, kind of an educational experience.
Yes.
Made me think a lot about who I am and where I'm going and what matters in life.
So, okay. Do you think you picked up more from him as far as technique on your instrument or more with how to view music?
And little of both, really. The thing that impressed me most about him was the depth of musicality with which he played the bass.
Yeah.
I mean, before him, people had done a lot of cool things and it was a lot of fun, but he suddenly kind of took the instrument to this place that gave it this enormous sense of dignity and passion.
Yes.
And the techniques that he used, the technical aspect that he used, was part of that. And that's been an inspiration to me ever since. So I've always tried to keep in touch with the kinds of technical things, innovations he brought to the instrument, and see if I could continue that tradition, but also try to add a little something of my own as well.
Michael Manring on FM 91 KCSM, the Bay Area's jazz station. Thought we'd play something from your soon-to-be-released album. What's the name of the album going to be?
The record is called Soliloquy, because it's my first all-solo bass recording.
Okay, here's Michael Manring from the album Soliloquy on FM 91 KCSM.